Okay, I will call the meeting to order. First item is to adopt or amend the agenda. Is there any changes? Anything? Otherwise, I'll take a motion to approve.
Also move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The agenda is approved. Next is to approve the minutes from May 19th, 2026. You had a chance to read through it. Is there any changes, adjustments, anything?
Motion that we approve them.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. On to number four, 2027 preliminary budget discussion.
Right.
Addie.
Addie's.
Is it on?
There we go.
Good evening, everyone. So we're here to kind of discuss some options that we've brought tonight for the upcoming budget. So for reference, on page 5 of your packet, you'll see the preliminary budget that was passed in May as the next step of the budget process, as well as the corresponding signatory factor table. The preliminary budget breaks out the revenue and expense lines. And then we were asked in the May meeting by the Finance Committee to bring back some different options or potential routes that we could take for this June Finance Committee meeting. So on page 15, you'll see the 2027 budget signatory share factor table scenarios. Now, these scenarios show four different directions that we could take for when we come back in July with our final budget proposal. So each scenario lays out what the signatory contributions would look like, as well as how the overall budget would change from kind of option to option. So scenario one is the 2027 preliminary budget that was approved on May 19th. Scenario two is an example of a reduction in services. This example reduces open hours at multiple branches. These open hours were added in 2022 via board approval. This 2022 plan was created with the goal of increasing consistency, providing more open days and or more access during times of highest community need at the majority of Great River locations. It included an addition of 68 open hours and 64.25 staff hours. Since 2022, four staff and open hours have been reduced, but at the time, these additions came with an estimated cost of about $67,800. Today's cost estimation is, including the 4 hours decrease, is about a little over $77,000, which is what we have reduced the operating budget by in this scenario. So that's scenario two. And turning the page, scenario three. So another option that we were kind of tasked with exploring is to show a reduced operating budget increase from 2.67% to 1.67%. In this scenario, we have removed $105,800 from the personnel line. There are several negative impacts to this scenario, especially since our staffing is very lean. So we either maybe have to end up reducing services or reducing like the overall unassigned fund balance by kind of stealing a little bit of our buffer. And then finally, scenario four includes an addition to a new reserves spend down plan. So this scenario would add in about $88,000 in reserves to the 2027 budget. It would include a total cost of $253,000-ish in additional reserves from 2027 to 2030. If you fast forward in your packet a little bit to page 21, you'll see this new potential reserve spend down plan displayed. Just to kind of walk you through it a little bit, the funds in italics are those that are already incorporated into the budget from previous year designations, and they are already accounted for in the adjusted unassigned fund balance. So the numbers in bold are the proposed amounts for this option. This spend down and recovery plan would leave us with about 4.09 months in reserves, and this scenario does not reduce the overall size of the budget, but it does reduce the signatory contribution portion. Of course, the downside to this option is that when you use unassigned fund balance, you're kind of filling one hole and making another. So those are kind of the four different options. we can do a combination of scenarios or take a different route. We just kind of wanted to display what some different paths that we could take would be. We also have some graphs that we want to kind of walk through that might help us with a little supplementary info, but I just wanted to pause here and see if anyone had any questions or discussion. Nothing there? Okay. Then we'll keep going, and we can talk after these graphs. So we did create a few graphics to help provide some additional information for our decision-making. So on page 17, you'll see the first graph, which is the Great River Operating Budget Revenue Analysis. So this graph shows the various types of funding for Great River over the past 8 years. Most importantly for this conversation, you'll see the blue, which is the signatory contribution. In relation to the two different types of funding provided by the unassigned fund balance, those are the orange and purple up on top, with the orange being the surplus rollover and the purple displaying the reserve spend down plan by year. So here you can kind of see how the use of the unassigned fund balance has helped offset the signatory contributions in comparison to the overall budget growth. And of course we have the yellow, which is the other revenue, and the green, which is our state funding. So if you skip ahead two pages to page, I believe, 19, you will see we did break down that little yellow segment, which is the other revenue. We kind of wanted to just show a little bit of how it's changed over the course of the last 8 years or so. So you'll see back in 2019 through 2021, there's a lot of that green, which is that patron receipts. And then that green shrunk when we hit 2022, when we went fines free. Obviously, we weren't bringing in as much income from fees and fines, but it's slowly starting to grow now that our print-to-go and copies has really increased. Same thing with interest. The interest has really grown over the last 3 years. A lot of that is thanks to higher CD rates coming to maturity, but it really goes to show that if we can continue growing this interest income, it should really help to offset kind of the burden on signatories. So that's kind of that. And then going back one page to page 18, we did break out the different four scenarios into a graph just for a little bit of a visual representation. 2026 is also included just for a comparison year. So obviously the scenario one, once again, is the preliminary budget. Scenario two is that reduction in open hours, so slightly smaller overall budget. Same with scenario three, smaller overall budget with the reduction of the personnel line or 1% of the increase. And then finally, scenario four has that slightly bigger purple line as it's the addition to the unassigned fund balance spend down plan. Yeah. Let me know if you want me to explain any other numbers on there.
Anybody have questions on it?
Kind of. That's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information, yes.
Right. With a lot of...
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean, yeah, just the detail. It's
very detailed and very gives good. Us some options.
Wonderful.
At 0.4 or 4.09, what are we required to keep?
At what?
Your reserves at 4.09.
Oh yeah, so we are required to have 3 months.
Okay.
At the audit presentation this year, Ashley shared with us that they recommend closer to 6 months. So obviously the more we have, the better, but it's all about kind of finding that happy medium, obviously. So.
You know, the trouble I've seen over the years of doing the reserves is that you do it this year and then you've got staff, mm-hmm. you know, you've got your COLAs and your steps and all that. Well, that becomes a bigger burden next year. Someplace you got to catch up. I mean, it's a tough sled to kind of manage over the years. I mean, you probably remember when we were eight to nine months in reserves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that makes a little difference. When you get to four or, you know, three, there's no room left. And then if you have to have an increase in something else, makes it really tough. You know, will county budgets look better in 2 years, or who knows?
That was one reason why we wanted to give you all those graphs and that kind of illustration of it is like 2030, 2031 budgets look scary. In the way that those reserves are petering out. At the same time, we all really sympathize with the situation the counties are in terms of just trying to make the dollars go as far as possible.
I'm personally hopeful that the legislature will finish what it didn't get done this year as early, because it wasn't a budget year.
I'm so glad you're such an optimist.
I am. I've seen worse things.
Yes, you have.
Things.
You've been playing the game a long time.
We still have some cards to play that we haven't played yet, not library-wise, but the tiny bits of one-time money, both for SNAP admin and then also for the Act, that was really all they could do right now in a not budget year, and the not going ahead and recognizing the cuts or the changes, the savings in long-term services and support, so we're still supposed to find that or else we'll have a problem. I think they're going to end up having to take some or all of that, so, but we don't know what the feds are going to do, right? So I think it's really important that we're seeing this, and I guess I'm saying out loud because maybe you all will think I'm entirely crazy, because partially is this helping our board members, our colleagues, see that there's some restraint right now, but we can't go ahead and just blow everything up because it will absolutely negatively impact our staff, our patrons, all the people who count on us who really want this, right?
There's a couple approaches to fiscal responsibility. Well, I mean, fiscal responsibility is more than just seeing how cheap you can get by.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm spending down the reserves. I don't think that that's a good idea because I don't think that, there's things in the economy itself that looks great. I mean, the Dow hit a new high. There's things like that going. But
if we only had invested in SpaceX, right? If we only had invested in SpaceX,
yes.
Hold all our money. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea. Or many, many years ago when I first heard of Apple. Anyhow, so going by that. But where was I going? Okay, so it's just, we need to, I think government spending is going to continue to be challenging. But we don't want to set up a scenario where we have to, where the actual library itself becomes non-functional or suffers too much, or we have to get rid of a lot of staff. That's not what we're here for. So realistically, tell me, what can you do? What makes sense for you?
Yeah, I was going to say, which of these scenarios to me? Because just to piggyback off of what you just said on the reserve piece, we don't know if there's some other crisis looming, and if we go and take all this we're screwed.
If we were at 6 months, it'd be a little different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're at four versus, there's 1 month cushion.
I'm really worried
there.
About that.
Right.
And, I worry more about the next year than this. I'd like to have this year.
We don't want to spend down to that.
But you don't want to spend too low.
Well, I will say in response to preference, I think our preference would be scenario one, the preliminary budget. In terms of the scenario I like least, that would be scenario two, because that would impact existing staff. We have had a long history of only making reductions when we have attrition, and to do scenario two would be to go against that. And also, the only way to capitalize on the full amount of savings there would be to reduce those hours regardless of whether or not they're being utilized well by the public. And in some locations, they are being utilized very well. And so that would be a real loss for the communities. So top and bottom, I would say scenario one top, scenario two at the very bottom. We did that because we felt like we had to, not because in any way we wanted it.
Can I ask, just staffing-wise, is there opportunities in any place in there where they're not, getting people in the door, and
sure.
is there things that you've looked at and said,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not saying a bunch of hours or anything sure. like that, but if it's just yeah. a little bit of this and a little bit of that, let's
yeah.
get it down, like even like 2% more. I mean, it will just be at least we're working towards something.
Yeah. So I think I'm hearing you say this is partially what are the little things we can do.
Yes.
And a struggle I would think is you're going to answer this. Some of our smallest ones don't have that many hours open.
Right.
Exactly. And like, how do we do that? Then they're not the ones, they're very much appreciated, but they're not utilized highly.
Right. To a lot of our smaller libraries also have like the boxes where people come pick up their books kind of thing.
No. The only place that we have a locker system is Sartell. That's
okay.
it.
My concern, too, with that is that that's somebody's livelihood. That
exactly.
when we cut those hours at those small libraries, that's that's a person or two
from,
that are losing, they're losing their revenue, their own. So
right. So I would say we, as a leadership team, we plan to continue what we've been doing, which is when we have a vacancy, we review the allocations. Can they be reduced? Can they not be reduced? Do we need what is there? In some of those smaller libraries, I think it is entirely possible where we haven't seen the additional hours being used significantly, if there is a vacancy, to look at that like we did with Gray Eagle in Swanville and say when we rehire, we just need to change how we're doing things. But that is a small number, a small percentage of it. When, you know, for better or for worse, that I've been on the leadership team as long as I have been, I can tell you when we started with the process of reviewing allocations anytime that there was a vacancy, there were times we were like, we don't need that whole position. That whole 15-hour position is not essential right now. We don't have that anymore because we've been doing this process for so long that now we have a number of libraries that they've just hit bottom. We can't take it any lower without cutting open hours. And other places that haven't gotten to that point, it's a smaller and smaller incremental slice. So I wish I could tell you that, yes, we have something in our back pocket.
It's just a question. I'm not advocating one
it's
way
important.
Or another.
Yes.
I just want to
no,
know.
No, it's
yes.
a really,
yep.
really fair question, mm-hmm. and I want to be really frank and honest with the board that the economies of scale are not there anymore to get that level of savings. So that was one reason why we put in Scenario 3, where we said just a reduction in the overall personnel budget, not that we would be, say, saying it's coming from this or it's coming from that, but just that basic recognition that we have been running a surplus for the past several years because of turnover, vacancies, things like that. Could we get to a point where at the end of the year we had reduced that much? So that was an open question that we decided to throw out there as a possible proposal. However, I do want to point out that if we did that, you know, going back to, what was it, page 17 or 19, whichever had the other income breakout. What page was that, Addie?
Page 18.
18? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, 19.
19. All right. So if we did that, then looking at, I'm looking at the wrong, where's the surplus rollover? There it is. Okay, so page 18. That surplus rollover that's up there at the top, if we just say arbitrarily we are going to reduce the personnel line by this much, that could reduce what that surplus is that the board has been using to, again, augment the signatory share. So that's the thing that we don't know. Could we reduce our personnel line by that much just as a general thing and still come out at the end of the year with enough of a surplus to be a buffer for the signatory or not? I don't know the answer for that, but I think it would be a little challenging. It would mean being really tight with things like extra time or meeting time or things like that to try to make sure we could, and that just creates other kinds of challenges in terms of having good communication and programs So, sorry, long-winded explanation, there's just no easy answers at this point in time.
I guess I'm looking for a happy medium between 2.67 and 1.67. You know, if we can get to even what does reducing it to 2.5, you know, in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. A 2.5 for the
sure. Well, and I was kind of wondering, along with that, went back to one of your questions before, Tina's.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go somewhere in between on scenario 3 and then do a little bit of the additional spend down without messing things up too much?
Yeah.
Or something so that we're showing something lower,
right?
Then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like scenario 1. The question is, can we get to scenario 1?
I think scenario 1 is okay unless we have counties, you know, you've heard some counties that they're not going a hair over 5 and they don't care what it's going to cost or who it's going to cost their job. Some say 3. They want to be at 3%. I don't know how you're going to do that.
With all the cuts from the state?
If we're talking about what the budget or the signatory account, the problem with the, you know, we obviously have a formula. So it's, you know, it's determined to what actually works. And if we change any of that, that's a different problem.
If you look at the part we had from 2016 to 2026, the library was pretty efficient, people.
Right.
I mean, it ran pretty good. Granted, we did spend down some reserves in that time. But, you know, there was personnel cuts. There was, you know, when there was, you know, collaborating managers that would do 2 different locations.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of that is left other than, you know.
And that sounds like part of what we need talking points to be able to help talk with our colleagues because.
That depends on who your colleagues are, if they're going to listen.
Well, we just need 3 votes in ours. Somebody needs 4 votes. So I think we'd have 3 votes, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's going to be a hard year. I don't know.
It is.
I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, part of this, too, is this is the agreement we have with each other. And
right.
So, I mean, I'm glad we've been using technology, too, to augment, but it can't supplant the human beings.
Right.
You know, I don't know how you go about revisiting the joint powers agreement, but I can tell you it's coming from my board.
I know. We know. Yeah. We were here.
Yeah.
More than once.
I mean, no, they're drumming up business from somebody else because they know they can't go it alone.
Right.
And don't know what they'll do about where the bulk of your population is.
Right.
You better be thinking about where the bulk of your population is.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got 7,000 people in Benton County living in the city. This is their library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have 7,000.
Oh, we got 12,000. No, 17,000 in Sauk Rapids.
I was going to say, if we count Sauk Rapids, now it's more than half your population, right? Between the
no,
two.
If you did, if Sauk you did Rapids Sauk Rapids, St. Cloud, it's more than half.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
How on earth do you go to? I mean, obviously, this is for your other board members, but how do you go to another system where the people who actually are where they're at won't be able to go to the library anymore? Yeah, that would be a really bad deal for them to be paying for a library they are never going to be able to go use.
Well, I think a couple of those cities would have something to say about it then. To look at the agreement, right?
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
a good
that's
point.
What I always tell them.
That's a good point.
There's,
Well, and obviously, right, your tax capacity has been growing so much, which is why yours is where it is. And I was looking at a meeting recently where what was going on with SNAP for you guys, your numbers are so much lower than ours. I mean, it's significantly, it's because you're growing and where the jobs are, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that it could be hard for your board, too, but there's obviously that reason. And you've got people throughout your county, which is also good, right? I mean, you've got, it's not quite the same issue as you guys have, but then I know we don't have Todd or Morrison here today,
right.
But this is really important to those smaller communities, and we know that.
go back to that SNAP, one of the reasons I think we've been really diligent, we've actually hired fraud investigators. And
oh, this has nothing to do with fraud. Right. This has to do with income. You could tell what your tax capacity is. That's all I meant.
Right, right. I get yep. that, but it's yep. it's
we have two.
It's big picture.
Yep.
We have a big bill.
You have less poverty is all I'm saying. Yes. That's part of it. True. That's why you've got more tax capacity because you have less poverty.
And the growth is obviously.
Yeah, that's what helpful. I'm, yeah. If you put those together, I mean, and you've got it's easier for people to get to the cities for weeks. Jobs if they need to. Yeah.
They don't all get taxed like you think they do.
Yeah. I'm just.
Seasonal is not the same.
You know, clearly we're still growing, and so that impacts us too. We're not as close to the cities. We have colleges and universities that impact what those numbers look like, among other things too.
So, do you want Addie and myself to go back and do some additional spin down, but not as much?
I don't.
And some.
Like I said, I would like a 2.5 would be. I mean, it's just that little bit, but it's an effort towards. Honestly.
So instead of 2.67, do 2.5.
I don't think we need to go down to 1.94 or 1.67. I mean, that's really utilizing more of those funds and or more drastic cuts, and I don't want that.
So for
so you're talking
sending a signal that we're
the overall picture you're looking at.
Yeah.
Right. So for you, it's trying to figure out how are we at least bringing it
just
down.
That little bit. I mean, because we're going to, I mean, we have counties requesting it,
right?
Like, this is important to them. I want to take that into consideration. I know we're going to pay our fair share at Wright County. I understand that. I'm not opposed to that. I just feel as a whole, we have to think of everybody. That's part of us. That's all.
Yeah.
And that's a minor. It feels like it's just that little bit if we can just look at.
Okay.
And like you said, you do save when employees aren't there. I get that piece.
Yeah.
So you're saying you'd like to see 2.55 or is that what?
I'll leave it at 2.5 if you want to do the 2.55.
Okay.
0.59.
I just
somewhere in there
in that range, not all the way, to some of these scenarios. I'm sure some would love that, but I just think holistically just a step. I don't want to go in a hole in 2 years. I won't be here, but I don't ever want to set that up for the future.
That
just
makes
because
two of us that won't be here.
It might not look right. It might not look the same. You know, things can turn around, and you might be looking for more people to hire, and, we're thriving, and everything's good. I'd love to see that amount from the state go up every year. That doesn't always happen.
Yeah, talk about something that needs to go up.
So just a clarifying question then for everybody. Do you want us to try to get to that 2.5 overall increase without adding any more from the reserve, so just through... Or do you want a smaller amount?
I think you could drag a little bit.
Okay.
But got to be careful.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Not much,
So as little as we can get away with.
Of a combination.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It's kind of.
See what that game looks like.
Right. I mean, you know what your levers are. We're kind of just guessing.
Yep.
What did you say for scenario one? What was, how much reserves do we have with scenario one?
So with scenario one, for 2027, we'd have $350,000 in surplus rollover, and then we'd have about $63,500 for, the spend down plan for 2027.
So what, like you said, with what scenario you said it was 4 months for scenario four.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Is how many where does that put us?
Yeah, for sure.
And I didn't, I'm sorry I didn't see it.
I think if you go to page 21, so as it is right now, if we do not add to the spend down plan, we would be at 4.38 months in reserve with the current kind of allocations.
I see it up there, sorry.
Oh my gosh, no worries. There's like Ed said, there's a lot of information.
So much information.
A lot of information.
It's a lot of pieces. It's just the puzzle to put together to get to where I think everyone could be a little disappointed and a little happy.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Make everybody just a little disappointed. I'm sorry.
Well, I recognize anyways that what you brought to us, you were trying to be pretty lean as it was. So
this
I think this is great information.
Yeah. I loved reading it, going through it. It's very good.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Addie and I are up to the challenge.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, we'll bring something back in July and just a reminder that that's our last chance to pass it. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can do that.
Okay.
Too.
Is that good with everyone? Just trying to get that little bit. I don't want to wreck operations. I don't want to. We're doing good. It's good. We get the positive feedback, but I also want to recognize that some counties don't have Wright County's ability to, you know, and that's
taken into account in here. Yep. I mean, that's what I would say to my fine colleagues in the county that I used to live in, Baton County, is that a lot of people use this, and it's right there. And, I mean, you, Baton, were preaching to the choir with you, I mean, but it's all taken into account. So hopefully that will help. I don't know if it'll be enough for you guys. I mean,
I don't know. We're going to discuss it. We're going to discuss library on Monday.
Okay. Monday? Okay.
22nd.
Oh, I thought it was the 23rd. Okay. Awesome.
I don't know.
Why Monday?
Monday? We have Committee of the Whole meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the plan really is. I mean, I think they're going to push the 6,600 towards the library, but.
Or find a donor.
What?
Or find a donor.
Find a donor. Well, I know there
maybe
is.
Maybe they'll want a locker in. new government center.
Yeah, right.
right.
There better not be a lot of extra space in a government center. That's all I know. Because if there is, boy, the public's going to just scream.
Patty, did you need some clarification?
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear on what is being expected.
To get to a 2.5% overall increase by having a smaller amount of the unassigned fund balance and a smaller amount of the personnel budget reduction. Okay. So Addie and I will do that. We will find a way. Thank you very much for all your input and for understanding. And
seriously, really helpful information.
Mm-hmm. And for better or for worse, next we have to ask you for more money.
So well, funny thing, having human beings being the line item of what we do, we kind of need to make sure people get paid.
Yes. So Nicole's up with the next one. Are you ready, Patty?
Yes, okay. Yes, I came to please ask for some money. For the past several years, we've been using the called EASE platform, and that's what we use for benefits enrollment. They were bought out a couple years ago by National Enrollment Partners, and we've been hearing for a couple years that EASE was going to go away, and they've just kept pushing back that date. Well, they have finally set a date, I believe it's July of 2027, that the EASE platform will just no longer work, and the information in there will be read-only, so we need to migrate to something else. Looked at a couple options, and what seems to make the most sense to us is to stay with NEP but go to their paid platform, Employee Navigator. The nice thing with that is because they own both platforms, they will do most of the migration for us, so there's less work on our part to get the information from one platform to the other. If we migrate this year, we can use it for free for the remainder of 2026. And then starting in 2027, it would be $200 a month, and they are willing to give us a price lock guarantee for 2027 and 2028. Just as reference, we did look to see if we could move to use Paylocity's platform, because that's our HRIS system, and it's like $1,000-something.
$1,200
a month, right. So,
yeah.
Rich, that's a lot. But we do need something, otherwise, if we don't have something, then we need more staff to be able to do all this by hand. So.
We just said, you know, there's no more staff.
Right, so really, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
move approval.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second to approve the request for funds for the transfer. Motion. We had a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you all very much.
Very good.
I cannot imagine trying to do the work of that without the system.
We'd be asking for more money.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd just be like, we're on a roll with, like, we got the union stuff done, we've gotten Addie, and we've gotten just this new team that is just working well together. So keep going. Keep doing it.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, I think we're okay to...
Yep. Motion to adjourn. I'll ask for it this time.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're adjourned.